When something has no purpose, often we say to one another, well, what's the point? What's the point of something if it has no purpose? I remember asking that question a lot at school. Oh, why do I have to learn this? Why do I need to learn this? I've got a few pictures that we're going to look at. Ruben's going to help. You know, very helpful seat, isn't it, on that bus? I don't know if you can see that actually there's no leg room on that one, a bit pointless. Maybe a useful gate, that's the next one. Is it a ramp to go up or stairs? I don't know where you'd like to go, up the ramp or the stairs. A footpath to a field. The footpath just ends, like where's it going to? Nowhere. I've got some bridges here, there's a few of them I think, so just sort of put a bridge in the middle of nowhere. There's another one, I think there's another one. Oh, this one's a walkway, but either end you might not be able to see it so well. The walkway is blocked off at either end, so you can't actually walk across it. Now, lots of work has gone into creating these things, but they're absolutely pointless. A bridge in the middle of a field, what are you going to do with it? When things are not finished or haven't been thought out, they're often lacking purpose, aren't they? And not having purpose isn't related to just things of this world like bridges and footpaths. In a recent NCLS Australian Community Survey, people were asked about their hope for the future and a sense of purpose. Now, 27% of people were unsure of the future or were unsure about a sense of the future. And 12% said they had no sense of purpose and no hope for the future. That's a large percentage of our community that's living without a sense of purpose or without any hope for the future. Now, Dr. Ruth Powell, the director of the NCLS, said that people who are more hopeful and optimistic about the future are more resilient to negative shocks, both in terms of their behaviour and life satisfaction. In other words, we're more resilient to what life brings us when we're hopeful and optimistic about the future. When we have a sense of purpose, then we are able to manage the difficulties that life brings to us. Now, when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, we must understand that we have a great purpose. And in line with this series on church doctrine, we find the church as antidote to purposelessness. Now, the church isn't the only place where we find purpose, a bit like loneliness. It's not the only place we find the antidote to loneliness. But building to who the church is and what the church does means that we will have a clear purpose. See, in the church, true disciples have a clear purpose. And that clear purpose is what we're going to see in John chapter 15. Now, my hope today is that as a true disciple of Jesus, you'll walk away from today with a clear purpose to remain in Jesus and to bear fruit for Jesus. Two things. Remain in Jesus and bear fruit for Jesus. Now, the first thing we'll see is this idea of remaining in Jesus. And John 15 is a great passage for us to be able to hear this. And you might want to have an outline open in front of you. That's in the bulletin. And you might like to grab a Bible and have that open to John chapter 15 as well. In John chapter 15, verse 1, it's very clear that Jesus is the vine and God the Father is the gardener. Now, Jesus is speaking here to his disciples and he gives them this metaphor of a garden. And the picture he paints is quite drastic. He says that there's a vine and that the vine is Jesus. The vine has branches. The branches are the disciples of Jesus. And the branches are connected to Jesus. And in verse 2, Jesus says that the gardener or the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, the first thing I want you to see here is that as followers of Jesus, our purpose is to remain in Jesus. It's a key point that Jesus makes to his disciples, and he says it to them again in verse 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Our purpose is to remain in Jesus. Then Jesus explains to them how this relates to the vine. Continuing in verse 4. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Then he goes back to the explanation for the disciples. Neither can you, and he says this, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now the point Jesus is making here is that as followers of Jesus, we need to remain in Jesus. Just like a branch that produces fruit must be connected to the vine to produce, a true disciple of Jesus must remain in Jesus to be fruitful. Then Jesus continues in verse 5 by saying, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, for the disciple of Jesus to be fruitful, there's a need to remain in the vine, remain in Jesus in order to bear fruit. And we see it also in verse 6, and I'll read that. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Now this passage is saying to his disciples, fruitful branches must be connected to the vine. You can't be a branch on the ground and expect to be fruitful. You must remain in the vine. Now this metaphor that Jesus is giving us relates to our relationship with Jesus. Jesus isn't talking about whether you're good enough to remain in Jesus or if you've done enough for Jesus. That would be like saying that we gain our salvation by works, but it's not. It's not talking about remaining. It's not talking about that. It's talking about remaining in Jesus for a purpose, and the fruit of remaining in Jesus is the sign that you do remain in Jesus. The dead branches in this metaphor are people who have never trusted in the Lord Jesus. If you've never placed your trust in Jesus, then you are a dead branch on the ground, not part of the vine. But what this image says to us is that people who trust in the Lord Jesus are the ones who are in the vine and are alive in Jesus. They are in him, connected to him, and they will remain in him. Now Jesus uses this image to say that we must remain in Jesus. We must continually turn to Jesus. We must continually seek his face. We must continually be connected to the vine, because it's only as we're connected to the vine that we are going to be fruitful. Now that's our first point. Remain in Jesus. As I said earlier, true disciples have a clear purpose to remain in Jesus and bear fruit for Jesus. And so now we're heading to this section on bearing fruit for Jesus. And what we see is that producing fruit comes with a good pruner. Now we see this in verses 1 and 2. We're going back to the beginning of chapter 15, where the pruner or the gardener or the vine dresser, depending on your version of the Bible, that's our Father God. And Jesus says in verses 1 and 2, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. The Father prunes followers of Jesus so that they are more fruitful. Now, I've got another photo for you. This is my cousin who has a ribbon. My cousin has a peach farm out at Bathurst. And this is my cousin with her husband. And they carefully prune the trees every year. They get rid of the branches that don't produce fruit, and they keep the ones that do. They prune the trees in a very particular way, and Tim, the guy there, he doesn't let anyone else do it. He does it. He's the gardener. He's the one who knows which branches are fruitful and which ones are not, and he gets rid of the bad ones and prunes the good ones so that they'll be even more fruitful. The goal of pruning is for more fruit. They don't prune so that there's less fruit. You prune for more fruit. You don't prune for bad fruit, you prune for good fruit. This is the work of the gardener. This is what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to prune us. And true disciples are pruned to produce more fruit, meaning God will work in you and shape you and change you so that you are the person he wants you to be. It's an ongoing process. It's always happening. This work is done by the Father for disciples who produce fruit with the purpose of producing more fruit. The purpose of being a disciple of Jesus is to bear fruit. The branches that are connected to the vine are the ones that produce fruit. And we see that in verse 4. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's no going solo. There's no going alone in the Christian life. It's about remaining in Jesus and being fruitful for Jesus. The purpose of a true disciple is to produce fruit. And we see it clearly in verse 5 as well. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, bearing fruit is part and parcel of being connected to Jesus. These verses are telling us the same thing over and over and over again. They tell us that our purpose for living as disciples of Jesus is that we must bear fruit. To show that we are alive in Jesus means that we will show ourselves to have life. To show that we have life means that we will bear fruit. And so the question we need to ask at this point is, well, what does it mean to bear fruit? If bearing fruit means that we are true disciples, then we all need to know, well, what it means to bear fruit. We've answered why we bear fruit, that shows that we're in Jesus, that we do remain in him. But what does it mean to bear fruit? Well, we see this in our last point for today. And we see that there's four ways that this passage tells us that we can bear fruit. Now, I don't think our fruit is limited to these four things. But these are the four things in this passage that will tell us how we can bear fruit. And the first way that we produce fruit is through answered prayer. It's a very interesting one for me. I never really thought about this. I mean, answered prayer is fruit. Look at verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Answered prayer. If we remain in Jesus, remain in his words, ask whatever we wish, and we will get answered prayer. Prayer is communication with Jesus. Jesus wants us to communicate with him. This is how our relationship is strengthened. Jesus speaks to us through his word, and we respond in prayer. This is why we see the church as antidote to purposelessness. Because as we listen to God speaking to us through his word, through the Bible, well, we pray. In turn, God hears our prayer and responds to our requests because they are spoken in obedience to God's word. And we let the word shape our lives. So too, our prayer life is shaped by what we hear and what we read from God's word. This doesn't mean that the church is the only place for us to hear God's word. Of course, we want to be people immersed in regular reading of God's word, the Bible, hearing what God has to say to us. But the church is certainly one place where we get to hear what God says, what God wants for us. It's a collective place of hearing and encouragement. We should be seeing our prayers answered, and if they're not, well, perhaps we're not praying. Maybe think about your prayer life. Is it just ritualistic? Or is it an overflow of the relationship that you have with our great God? I find I pray at all sorts of times. I'll think about someone. I'll be thinking about a passage I've read. I'll remember someone at church. I'll be reminded of something that's happened in someone's life. And then I find myself speaking to God about it. Speaking to him, telling him what's going on for me, for that other person, for that request that I may have. And I want to do this more. I'm like you. I want to pray more. I think we all find ourselves in that same boat. I want to enjoy a relationship with Jesus. And as I do this, I hear God answering my prayers. And that's what it means to bear fruit, doesn't it? To be in relationship with Jesus, to be growing, to be hearing God's word and responding to it, to be hearing God answer our prayers. So what about you? How's your relationship with Jesus going? Are you listening to his word? To be listening to his word, you must be reading it. You must be studying it. You must let the word of God impact your life. Our prayer life and knowing what God wants from us comes from reading the Bible. I haven't preached from many Psalms here at church, but I do find that reading the Psalms and then turning them into prayers is really helpful. I really enjoy that. I also find that reading the Gospels are helpful. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. I want to know Jesus and I want to hear from him. But that's where we read most about Jesus. So read them. He's the greatest teacher ever. So listen to him and his words. And of course, our prayer lives will be an outflow from that. Just as a reminder, we also have our oikos, you know, that list of 8 to 15 people that we're praying for. Answered prayer is bearing fruit. Well, we want to be praying for these people. We want to see our prayers answered. We want to see these people outside of the kingdom of God come into the kingdom. And our role is to pray. So maybe get out that list and start to pray. Now, I've given you a few ways to pray and to help you pray. So now it's over to you. What are you going to do to grow in your desire to pray? Because it's as we pray, we'll get answered prayer. That's the first way we bear fruit. Now, the next way we bear fruit is through obedient love. Now, we see this in verse 9, where Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." And what it means to remain in God's love is outlined in verse 10. "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." We are loved by Jesus, and as a result, we demonstrate our love for him through our obedience to him. Jesus is not saying, "If you want me to love you, then be obedient." He's not saying that. He's saying, "If you love me, then show me by being obedient." Obedience is the evidence of the love relationship we have with Jesus. And this is why we can see the church as antidote to purposelessness. Because as we read God's word, we are filled with purpose. We're given ways to live for Jesus. We are told what to throw off, what to put on. And all this is on the basis of Jesus loving you. That's where it all begins. It's our purpose to please the one who saved us. So, of course, we bear fruit through obedient love. And again, a bit like a broken record, I'm going to say it again. We need to be people of the word. We need to be people immersed in the Bible so that we know how to be obedient to what it says. Don't just get fed here on Sundays. Feed yourself a meal each week. Read the Bible, read a gospel, listen to what Jesus wants for you. So how are you doing in being obedient to God's word? How are you showing your reliance on Jesus? Because as we bear fruit through obedient love. Well, the next thing we see here in this passage is that joy is the unmistakable mark of a genuine disciple. We see this in verse 11 where it says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus has told them to do this so that his joy may be in his disciples and that their joy may be complete or full, that they have the full measure of Jesus' joy in them. Now, of course, this again comes from having a relationship with Jesus. We're invited to share life with Jesus. We're invited to take part being joyful over people who come to know Jesus. His joy becomes our joy. And it's no surprise that joy comes after obedience to Jesus, because our joy comes by being obedient. And as we grow in joy, our affections for Jesus grow too. We desire what he desires. We dream and wish for things of God. We desire the things that God has made us for. It gives us our purpose as disciples of Jesus. And as this relationship continues to grow, the obedience required turns to complete joy as we begin to desire the things of God. So are you joyful? See, not being joyful and yet claiming to be a child of God is not okay. We should be joyful because of who Jesus has made us to be. We should be joyful because we get to listen to Jesus and obey his word. Now, sure, there are things in life that make us sad, but that's not who Jesus has made you to be. He made you to be joyful in all circumstances. We are to find complete joy in Jesus, and his joy makes us joyful. So are you finding joy in Jesus? Is the relationship you enjoy with Jesus helping you to grow in joyfulness? We bear fruit through joy. And then as we come to the last way of bearing fruit, I'm going into verse 12. We didn't read it, but it's still there. So let me use it anyway. The last way we bear fruit is through love for each other, a sacrificial love. Look at verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Jesus gave his life for you. You can see it in verse 13 as well. Jesus gave his life for you. He gave it so that you can live for him. Now, this is the greatest news you'll ever hear. That Jesus gave his life for you so that you don't have to die. I've seen so many movies about the sacrificial work of one person for many. I was going to try and write a list, but there's way too many to choose from. But we love this idea of someone saving us, don't we? Many movies you watch are all focused on the sacrifice of one or a few for many. And this is why the gospel is so attractive. It's also why it's so divisive. It's attractive because Jesus gave his life for you, but it's divisive because people feel that it's just way too simple. Jesus gave his life for you, which means that Jesus loves you. He loves you wholeheartedly. He loves you to the moon and back, if you've ever read that book. He loves you so much that he gave his life for you. And what he wants in return from you is for you to submit to him, to rely on his sacrificial love for you. So we rely on his sacrificial love for us, and so we pass on that sacrificial love to one another. This is how we bear fruit, through a sacrificial love for one another. That this is who we are to be. So how are you going to love those around you this week? Is the sacrificial love that Jesus has shown you going to change and shape you into the person he wants you to be? See, bearing fruit means to love sacrificially. Now, what we've seen today is that the church as antidote to purposelessness. As Jesus comes into each one of us and we are filled with purpose because we now belong to him. We've heard that we must remain in Jesus and bear fruit for him. and bearing fruit as we go along in life with answered prayer, obedient love, inexhaustible joy, and a sacrificial love. As disciples of Jesus, we have a great purpose. And so now it's time for us to live for Jesus. Well, let's pray. Our Father God, we give you thanks that your church is for your glory. We pray that we might be people who remain in you. Give us hearts for you and your word. Help us to hear what you have to say and respond to it. Lord, we've heard a few ways we can bear fruit for you today. We ask that you bear fruit through us. Help us as we pray, as we live in obedience to you, as we live joyful lives because of what you've done for us, and as we practice a sacrificial love that you have shown us. Lord, we pray for your church here in Wurrunga. Grow us to be the people you want us to be. And we ask all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.